Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all my friends out there. It's 11:11. That's right, all you numerologists or numismatists or people in the numerology. It's 11:11 a.m. on Tuesday, September the 27th, 2022, Bo Blimpdoc, here in Mountain Standard Time, Utah. Here in the Utah location where we can see the Ute Mountains and we can look up to their peaks, and looking down at us is Bigfoot. And Bigfoot is wiping blood off of his brow. He's preparing the battle plans. He's organizing the Wookiee people. They're up there right now because they know that we're fucking up. They're coming for you. The Wookiee people. Yes, indeed. September the 27th, 2022. But if you're listening on a radio and you have it tuned to 5850 kilohertz, you might be listening on Friday night, some Friday night in 2022, Bo Blimpdoc. And it's right around 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until that clock gets turned back or turned backwards or turned off by all those Nazis who gave us daylight savings time. But didn't Benjamin Franklin want it? Yeah, I've come to understand that Benjamin Franklin was probably a limited hangout, just like the Bill of Rights. Not really a thing, just something to keep you confused and pigeonholed and in a plug hole and keep a piece of wood shoved up your butt so you'd do exactly what you were told to do. And for over 100 years, the people being destroyed by the United States government were mostly really weak people that were dehumanized and nobody cared about, like Native Americans or African Americans or people who just didn't fit in, right? Like your good friend Uncle Dan. Anywho, the first topic is got a lot of notes, but I don't know how long I want to spend on it. If you've been listening to my podcast since 2020, you know that I believe that the COVID pandemic was fake. It wasn't a bioweapon. It wasn't a Wuhan lab. It wasn't any of the nonsense you've been fed. And every time Rand Paul comes out and says, I've discovered the truth, you need to know you're renting out your brain. And you need to stop doing that, okay? You need to stop wearing the coffee filter and stop renting out your brain to the COVID pandemic psyop. But we also had the race war too, didn't we? Given the race war went into hyperdrive in 2020, BLM Antifa, Chazchopia, also frickin' real until you look up close, really. And I did with a video camera. So I looked up close to Chazchop and BLM Antifa, and I found a lot of undercover plainclothes cops and other feds, Glocks sticking out. Yeah, a couple dingbats wanted to beat me up one day in July of, I think it was July the 3rd, 2020, because I was not focused on the nonsense. I was focused on the cops dressed up as BLM Antifa. That's the truth. And then we got the gender sex war, and currently Ukraine is and Putin is bad. We've had coin shortages. We've had toilet paper shortages. The border crisis, oh my God. Biden-Trump trauma drama. Economic collapse. Food shortages. And inflation. The thing about psychological warfare, and let me just describe it for you, is that its purpose is deception, but it can use real things, real divisions, real events as a kind of engine. So this idea that, well, are you saying that the inflation's a psyop? No, the inflation was inevitable. 50 years since we defaulted, half a century since Nixon closed the gold window, and technically the United States defaulted. Nobody wanted to say it. It's kind of like the last decade, nobody wanting to say Greece defaulted. What goes all credit default swaps, and derivatives never fail ya. Yeah, unless you rig the fucking game. Nobody, for the last 10 bo-blimp-talk fucking years, really 12 years, wanted to say Greece had defaulted. And they did any kind of crooked Belgium nonsense they could do to keep it going, baby. They did. A lot of Brussels bullshit. So when it comes to things like derivatives and credit default swaps, the reason why they say they can't ever fail is because the people that work with them know that it's a rigged game. That the government, which means in reality, you and I, would always be the lender of last resort. We would always be the one that covers the shorts. We were always going to be the one to clean up the fucking mess. It doesn't change. Okay? They will figure out any way they can screw you. They will give you a credit card with 60% interest. You know, and I didn't say 16, I said 60, baby. They'll do anything they can with their crooked financial instruments that are fully funded by the central banks. But God forbid they ever pay their own bill. They don't. The rich do not pay their bill. And when I say the rich, I am not a communist. I am simply opposed to the crony system we currently have. And I have zero respect for the people who say, well, I made a lot of money doing this, Dan. I flipped a lot of homes. I made a lot of deals. I'm successful. Look at me on the Death Star. Good job. I don't fucking care. It doesn't matter now. If your wealth is in paper, you need to get the fuck out. But it's too late. If you were to call up whatever money manager you had today, whoever manages your funds, your investments, your retirement, and said, get me the F out, get me into cash, I have no doubt he'd say, okay, after giving a 40-minute speech on taxes and penalties, I have no doubt they'd tell you it'll take a couple months. Oh, you want your 401k liquidated? Oh, just in time for Christmas. Anywho, I will tell you they're still lying to us. And as far as what Jerome Powell is doing, he's trying to keep the plate spinning. That's it. That's why they really can't raise rates much more, but they're going to have to. They're going to have to go up a bit more. I seriously doubt we'll get anywhere close to normalizing rates. Understand that if inflation is currently around 10%, and the prime lending rate is closer to what, 4 or 5%, that's still a negative interest rate. You're still essentially, yeah, it's still kind of ridiculous. It's absurd. You know, it is absurd. It is absurd, and it will never make sense. Powell, it is unlikely, unless it's the end. And when I say the end, I mean the end of the U.S. dollar. I don't think they're going to raise rates that much more, and I don't think they're going to cut rates that much. I think we are at the end. I don't think there's going to be graceful degradation. I don't think you're going to see some slow descent into a hyperinflationary hell. This isn't going to be like Old Smokey, the car you had in high school, where you got a little bit of warning from the water temp. And the oil pressure gauge, and now there's smoke coming out of the, yeah, out under, from underneath the hood. No, it's not going to be like old Smokey in high school where you got 10 minutes to pull over. It's going to be like you're driving a Pontiac GTO at 130 miles per hour and the engine and the transmission and the entire powertrain seize up. That is what we're looking at. So if you're expecting a lot of warning signs and coffee chats and special breakout groups or some CNN team or Fox News team to give you the lowdown, if you're expecting some alt news freak to pinpoint when and where, understand it could be tomorrow, it could be a year from now. But when it happens, it's going to be jarring. It's going to be like having your teeth punched out. And it's entirely plausible, as I said about 6 years ago, really 7 years ago, it's entirely plausible that, yeah, they use a little bit of a nuclear war to cover it over. Why not? They've got bunkers, right? They have bunkers someplace. All I know is they're lying. That's it. And it's not normal background radiation, corrupt government lying. It's high-intensity lying. It's the kind of lying that forces millions of people to the point of suicide and drug abuse. It's the kind of lying that spurs on domestic violence and leads to small businesses imploding and being destroyed. So no, this isn't ordinary fucking psyops. This is nuclear war psyops. And it's driving people crazy, baby. And that will only get worse, too. As far as the Ukraine goes, here's what I will tell you today. It appears that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline has been sabotaged. That's what the news is saying. I don't even know if this is true. You know, I've talked about the clathrate gun off and on in the last few months out of my own paranoia. And I pointed out that the whole Ukraine nonsense is really good cover for the methane event, if it's happening. And as far as this pipeline goes, yeah, it probably is, if it happened, it probably is U.S. deep state. If this Ukraine thing is real, it is an escalation. It's a bad one. It's a bad one because no one is fooled here. It's not like the Russians don't know who did it. It's not like the Germans don't know who did it. It's not like anybody in Western Europe is confused. The United States might be confused for all sorts of reasons, but the people over there are not. So I don't know what to tell you, baby. Don't know what to say, baby, as far as that goes. I think that if you want to know what a coastal methane blowout would look like, A, it wouldn't last as long as a pipeline blowout. B, it wouldn't just be a couple kilometers wide. It would probably be tens of kilometers in diameter. And this is the kind of thing that would have led to people, you know, reporting such events like in the Bermuda Triangle as UFOs, as some monster. But in reality, it's just frozen methane that is no longer in a stability state and converts to gas. You know, it is methane hydrate that converts the gas to gas. That's all. That's what this also could be. I don't know. If it is, we will see more of this. And it won't just be in the Baltic. It'll be all around the world in, you know, long continental shelves. And it will be bad. But the good news is, I think this is probably, you know, one of two things, either total BS or it's the United States government. If it is the government, if they decided to do this, it's really, really dumb. There's no good argument for it. I can't think of one. If you want to say that the Russians are evil, that Putin is evil, fine. But currently, the United States and NATO doesn't have any legs to stand on when it comes to moral superiority. We don't. Okay, I could just mention Syria and understand that the only place U.S. forces are in Syria is guarding oil that we're stealing from the Syrian people. So there's no moral high ground here, okay? Forget about that. If the Ukraine situation is real, then this is the kind of escalation that leads to tit for tat. It's hard to say what the Russians would do, but they have a lot of options. And they could attack us in Syria using proxy forces. They could utilize computer hacking with versions of Stuxnet to basically attack LNG facilities. We don't know. You don't know. If you're wagering on the professionalism and excellence of the American worker in 2022 Bo Blimp Doc, I'd say you want to take a ride on a Boeing airplane? Why don't you? Why don't you hop in that F-35? If you are wagering that the professionalism is so high that some dirty Russian couldn't put a virus into an LNG facility, you are batshit. You are insane. So who knows what happens next? Who knows? This is what's called blind retaliation, because both sides pretend that they don't know that the other side is doing it. But this only leads in one direction, and that's the all-out war. Eventually, somebody's going to get caught doing something. Eventually, one side is going to have the evidence and be able to point out that the other side has been attacking them and that these are acts of war. And that is World War III at this point. For all intents and purposes, it is. It may not involve every country on the planet, but I guarantee you there are going to be people picking sides. And if you think they're all going to pick the side of the United States, you are crazy. The only reason why they've done that is out of fear. And if the Russians have done anything, they put into question how much fear you have to have regarding NATO. Once that fear, once that deterrence is gone, a lot of countries, India, I would even think Japan. I mean, imagine Japan asking U.S. forces to leave. It could never happen, Dan. Imagine Turkey leaving NATO and forming an alliance with Russia. I mean, these things are all possible now, and they were made possible by your government because for some reason, they want a little mess in the Ukraine, some terrible, absurd money laundering scheme to keep going. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why our government more or less justified ethnic cleansing for 8 years and then was shocked when the Russians stepped in. The Ukrainians were murdering Russian ethnic people in the eastern Ukraine for almost a decade. Is it so freaking shocking that the Russians would step in? What would we do? What would we do if the same thing were happening in the United States or on our border? I can tell you what we would do. We did it in 1915. We sent Black Jack Pershing into Mexico. That's what we did. And we didn't do it over ethnic cleansing. We did it over a bandit named Pancho Villa. Imagine what we would have done in 1915 if the equivalent was being done to people in Texas. Oh, I can tell you what we would do. We would have invaded Mexico and renamed it Texas Part 2. So we really need to understand, if the Ukraine is real, there are no good guys here. The Russians aren't really the good guys. We are definitely not the good guys. And that's a bad bouillabaisse if you want to have peace. Because usually you need someone who is sane. And Putin might be sane, I have no idea. But what I can tell you is that he chose to play a dangerous game, which means that something that might have been avoided for another 5 years, maybe even 10 years, had to happen in 2022. Why? Because Putin's dying? Are you kidding me? If you're thinking some ex-chess player that lost to a computer was going to be the next leader of Russia, you do a lot of that good cocaine. The most likely replacements for Putin are all horribly worse. We, the United States, would be a smoking crater if anyone who would replace Putin, the likely replacements, was in power. That is how we should feel about Putin. I don't know that he's a good guy or a bad guy, but in terms of Russian history and in terms of options standing behind him, he's not so bad. We could have had a lot worse these last couple decades, believe me, but we didn't. The worst happened here. We had Bush, Obama, Trump, now Biden. a whole bunch of losers, really. And I'm sorry. I voted for Trump, but no, Trump's a freaking loser too. And if you don't know that he's in on it, I am sorry for you. I am sorry you're getting conned every single day by Q. I am sorry. But Trump is in on the game too. Are you freaking kidding me? These trauma dramas exist to confuse, to make people angry, to make people sad. They exist to basically keep the American population immobilized. And then the question is, why? So like I said, that methane explosion could be an explosion. It could also be one of the first precursor continental shelf methane blowouts. And if we see more of these, then you should shit your pants. Because it isn't about hot dogs or hamburgers at this point. It wouldn't be about the Hummer or any of the other garbage that Greta or Al Gore fed you. It's about a bill that was supposed to be paid 20,000 years ago, and now we're going to pay rather rapidly. Except for this time, we don't have the money, so Uncle Goomba, with his baseball bat, is going to give us a working over. That's what that would be. It would have nothing to do with commie nonsense, nothing to do with lefty nonsense. It is essentially just trillions of tons of shit that remained frozen for several thousand years, and now rapidly is thawing out. And the faster it thaws out, the hotter it gets, the faster it thaws out. It's called a positive feedback, but that doesn't mean good. Sorry, okay? I don't know how real the Ukraine is, but it's looking a lot like a cover for something else. And, you know, the people who run the world are crazy and batshit stupid crazy. And they get, you know, they get patents published to use nuclear weapons to cool the earth. I've talked about that once or twice. There's a link in previous notes. And you can research it yourself. Type in Google patent nuclear weapons cool the earth. This is how they think. So if you believe they wouldn't do it, well, why do you believe that? They've actually used nuclear weapons to do all kinds of crazy shit. Okay, including to, you know, frack for natural gas. So why wouldn't they do this? Next topic, but kind of related. In fact, I'm going to just dovetail this rant about the PSYOPs to say, here is one of the negative consequences I talked about 2 years ago. I said that if these PSYOPs last too long, people are going to start going crazy. Now, the thing is, they've had little knobs attached to these PSYOPs, turning them up and down. Like, for example, I'd say the monkey herpes is low right now, on a low temperature. The reason why the monkey herpes COVID pandemic PSYOP is low and not cool or off or cold is because every few weeks we still hear about some Chinese city being shut down because of one or two cases. So they got to shut down a city, which likely leads to a lot of people being killed, by the way. And we don't really know what's going on, do we? Okay, you don't shut down a city without impacting the logistics of the city, without impacting emergency support. So when I say likely a few people killed, if it was true, it's because you don't do that without consequences. Sorry. The lockdown in Seattle had consequences. People killed themselves, for example. A lot of people probably killed themselves. You'll never know the real number. They don't want you to. So these things have consequences. It isn't a pain-free thing to do to tell people they're under house arrest. So yeah, I call the monkey herpes low temperature. Race wars low too. There's still a few skirmishes in Portland. Still a few freakazoids in Minneapolis. But most of these are the useful idiots, probably. They're probably, their Fed controllers are probably still taking emails, but that's about it. So the race war is at a low temperature. The gender sex war is medium. Medium because it seems to be on medium all the time now. Obviously, the Ukraine, Putin is bad, PSYOP is white hot. Coin shortage is cold. You know, these weird shortage stories are cold. Although the coin shortage one gets turned on periodically where I live. So maybe I shouldn't say cold. Maybe it's on low. Every few weeks, one of these checkout people tell me, oh, we're out of coins. We don't have any coins. And then I explain to them that a lot of the metals that go into the coins go into bombs, and we don't seem to run out of those. And we chuckle ironically, sardonically, they hand me my beer and it's fuck you. But the coin shortage is probably more like on low than cold. The border crisis is a medium. It's kind of related to the race war. The Biden-Trump trauma drama has been medium since 2019. Economic collapse is kind of hot because people are beginning to suspect it and the media is managing it. Food shortages is kind of medium and inflation's kind of hot. Now, some of these, you'd say, Dan, didn't you say, like I said, brothers and sisters, some of these are real events that are being used, okay? PSYOP professionals love to use real things, real events. They redirect your outrage, they control the way you look at it, and they gaslight you about it. But PSYOP folks love to use reality. So yeah, some of these are real. Some of these are 100% bullshit, like the COVID monkey herpes. But Dan, I got the COVID 2 months ago. No, you had a cold, fucker. Oh, you can't say, I just said it, fucker. What I said a couple years ago is that the longer these military psychological warfare operations last, the more you run the risk of these plagues of madness. Now, I included some links to a video about a Wawa in Philadelphia and some other Wawa links. And there's this Yale University. I had this link to an article about Yale University having a research project to combat racist hair in video games. I think that we could be on the cusp of this starting, and one of the triggers for this sort of thing is actual deprivation, which means that when the food shortages really hit, I believe they set things up for total chaos. Okay, that's why when I've said the last couple years, especially the last year, I lose sleep because if this was about ripping us off, this would have ended a year ago. All this stupid fucking nonsense would have ended a year ago. It would have been 2008 part two, Electric Boogaloo. They would have stolen our shit. And frankly, the PSYOP they would have used would have been pyramids on Mars. It would have been some Elon Musk type bullshit PSYOP. It would have been a happy PSYOP like the Apollo missions. It wouldn't have been this stupid pandemic race war bullshit. What they've been doing is psychically driving hundreds of millions of people to the point of insanity. And in the worst case scenario, you don't need everybody to go batshit crazy. You just need a few people. And ideally, a few people in select positions like, I don't know, boiling water reactor engineers, people that fly planes, the managers at chemical plants. If those people go batshit crazy, throw in a couple construction workers who know how to knock down a bridge, and things could go really sideways really fast. And that's just going to be, you know, that's going to be what's going to happen. They didn't set this up to have some new world order takeover. There is nothing in this that you can build on. Nothing. You're not going to build on the insane asylum. You might pull a Zardoz. You might crawl into a hole for a while. Couple hundred years and whatever. But that's about it. Next topic. That's right. I think that these PSYOPs are pushing people to the point of crazy. And I don't think the plan of the world elite is to put us on trains that they don't currently have the resources to keep running, to take us to camps they won't have the resources to supply, to be guarded by people they won't be able to fucking pay. If you want to know where your FEMA camp is, well, if you live in a city, look around. They're not moving your ass anywhere. They might drop some MREs from the sky at some city park for a couple weeks and watch the gombo freaks tear each other apart for entertainment. But that's about it. They are bugging out. That is their plan. They're bugging out. I don't know where. Neither do you. In a previous podcast, I talked about Biosphere 2, which was that project back in the 90s to put a few people in some type of living arrangement in a closed loop system so they could simply survive off their poop and their pee and, you know, the plants and the animals that they would feed on. Well, it was a gigantic fucking failure. And it might have been one on purpose. You know, it's one of those things where you look at the uniforms they wore when they went into the biosphere. It's like they were trying to look like Buck Rogers in the 25th century. It was absurd. So it could be that the whole Biosphere 2 thing was a way to convince you that you can't do it, that nobody can do it, it's not possible. But there's also another interpretation, which means, you know, it's not possible. We're not going to do that anytime soon. We're not going to build a closed-loop bunker that allows us to live outside of the Earth on Earth anytime soon. There might be a way to do it, but not right now. And I bring this up because I want to ask you a question again. And I've actually asked two questions in the last couple of years. One question is one that's an old question. It goes back a couple of years, and it was related to the vaccine, kinda, okay, a little bit. Imagine the government came out, and just like I said, if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard this one before. But imagine if the government came out and said, "Listen, folks, listen, buddy, listen, pal, I want you to know something. I want you to hear something. Listen up. Life on Earth is coming to an end. It could be an asteroid. It could be some coronal mass ejection. It could be they detected some event that's going to send some sort of gamma ray pulse. Who the frick knows what kind of lies they'll tell us. But imagine at some point in the near future they said, life on Earth is coming to an end. Won't be no food. Won't be no coffee. Won't be no sex, won't be no cocaine, won't be no hookers, won't be no ammo for your 7.62 rifle. It's over, baby. But, at CERN, in Europe, baby, we've discovered a universe right down the street. At CERN, the Large Hadron Collider. We've discovered the outsider people, and they live in a universe or dimension or place right next to us, baby. We're going to be setting up these like telephone booths in every community. And when your name is called, you get a chance to go in. You won't be forced to go in, but it's your only chance to survive, baby. And you can take your family with you, take your dog with you, take your cat with you, take your fish with you. But if you want to survive, you got to go in the booth. Okay? And, you know, you're one of the cynical ones. You sit in your apartment eating your protein cube, the one you get this week. It's made with cricket flour. And you say to yourself, well, I don't know. But a few weeks later, you get an email from Aunt Scruples and one from Uncle Jimbly. They tell you they went to the new world. And it's all okay, baby. They really miss you and can't wait till you arrive. A bunch of your friends and family, they go to this new world, you know. And you get emails and you get pictures of them surfing and having fun and drinking margaritas. You get pictures of these people that live in the other world and they're happy and they're healthy and they're curing cancer and removing cysts from inside of your butt crack. So you decide to get in line at the booth. There's one right at the corner. There's only about 5 people ahead of you. And you get in line. Of course, the booth is a suicide machine. The booth is simply going to kill you, and you're going to fall through a trap door into a meat processor, a composter, whatever the hell you want to call it, and it's over. Now, I mention this because it's related to this question I would ask everybody, and I asked it in a previous podcast, but I'm going to have you think about it. If someone knocked on your door and offered you a seat in a bunker for you and your family, would you go? I know there are people out there say, oh my God, Dan, I'd totally go. I want to save my family. I love them. And I know you love them, baby. And they love you too, baby. The feeling is mutual. Some dude that looks like a government dude knocks on your door and says, listen, you've been put on a list of people. We all think you're really, really cool. Would you like to come to the bunker, to the condo complex? We got it in Antarctica. You can ski there. You can hike around. Would you like to come to the bunker? Would you like to crawl into a hole for 300 years? In a bunker, baby. Yeah, you know, I know there are people who would say, "What, Dan, are you stupid? The nukes will fall on our heads. We're going to get the COVID part two, which will be the new and improved monkey herpes with biological Stuxnet in the vaccinozoids. And they're going to pump us full of groggulin and we're going to die here horribly. And you don't want to watch your kids starve, do you? Or your dogs, your cats. So why don't you get in the booth? Why don't you take a ticket to the bunker?" I think there could be people in the coming weeks and months who offer tickets to a bunker. I'm going to give you some advice. The same advice I gave about the vaccine and the same advice I'd give about the magical booth that takes you to a new universe. Don't go. The best case scenario, what you're going to is a coffin. Okay? It won't become a coffin overnight. Probably coffin's not a good name for it because it's more of a mass grave. But the point is, you're going to a coffin. You're going to a place, to a mausoleum. And in a few hundred years, the only things that people will find there are bones. Okay? That is the best case scenario. You're not looking to extend human life on Earth. You're not improving the odds of American civilization or whatever civilization you think you're protecting. You're taking a trip to a mausoleum, and everybody alive there and their descendants will be dead in 100 or 200 years. That's the best case scenario. I'm sorry. If you think we can build things better than that, maybe, in a free society, but if you think our crooked neo-Stalinist government's going to build a bunker that lasts more than 50 years, are you smoking crack? All those roads, all those highways, all those bridges are going to start falling apart. All those dams will go to hell. Everything this government had a hand in building is toast. And if you go to a bunker that it built, and it promises you, you'll protect your family and your kids. Didn't you see that movie Greenland? It'll be just like that. It'll be just with Gerard Butler, right? No, it's not going to be like the movie 2012 where you get on the magical ship and everything's fine in a couple weeks. It won't be like the movie Greenland. Worst case scenario, there won't be any people living on planet Earth within a few months if there's a full-scale nuclear war. And if it's something else, if it's something so horrible that they would gaslight billions of people for 2 fucking years to hide it, you think it's better than nuclear war or worse? Because we've been psychologically prepared for that shit my whole fucking life, especially during the 80s. What could it be? What would it be? Finally, in the same category as Biosphere 2, I have a link to an article on Zero Hedge about rich people using advanced genomics and computers to live forever. Just put that under the category of the booth. If someone comes to you and says, here's a ticket for the bunker. If you take this ticket, you can go to the bunker. My simple advice is say no. Hell no. Because you've already heard my best case. Well, here's my worst case. It's the booth. It's the booth. They'll start going door to door. They'll say, knock, knock, knock. And they'll say, is anybody home? You guys look hungry and thirsty. We've got water and food if you head to the bunker. There are showers at the bunker. Come to the bunker. There are showers at the bunker. There's food at the bunker. Your family's already at the bunker. Here's a printout of an email. I know internet's not working right now, but here's a printout of a letter from Grandpa Bajubli. And he just told, look at this. He's playing golf at the bunker. Okay? They have a putting range, that putting, you know, green there, and a driving range at the bunker. You can go shoot your rifles at the bunker. Did I tell you there's food and water and showers at the bunker? Okay, a lot of people I know took the vaccine. It is not a huge stretch, especially if we get to World War III. It is not a huge stretch that a lot of people wouldn't say, well, sure. You said there's food. You said there's water. You said I get to take a fresh, clean shower at the bunker? And frankly, this makes way more fucking sense than any of Alex Jones's FEMA camp bullshit. They're not going to come up to your door like stormtroopers. That is not how they will operate. They're gonna lie to you. They're going to gaslight you. They're going to fuck with you. Why? Because the Nazis did the same thing. I mean, the Nazis kind of lied to Jewish people a little bit. They said, oh, yeah. You know, there's going to be food there. Oh, you won't need all these clothes because you're going to get new clothes there. And the lies were dumb. But if you're in a hopeless situation, if your kids are dying of radiation poisoning, why wouldn't you say yes? And if you're a Jew in Germany and you've been living in the ghetto and there's not enough food and some Nazi says, come to the camp, you'll get food, you'll get water, you'll get showers, why wouldn't you? It sounds like an upgrade, right? One could argue that a lot of the tragedies of human history are the result of people just wanting to feel okay. You know, just wanting everybody to be okay. And if that means being lied to on a cataclysmic scale, it doesn't matter. Because everybody needs to feel okay, especially when they're standing alone in the shower. So yeah, if somebody comes to your door, either before or after, assuming World War III is on the menu, and you and I don't know that, it's boblimp talk, it's the great discontinuity. If you think you know for sure what's happening tomorrow, you're either Jesus or you're full of shit. But if some government dude says, come to the bunker, my advice is tell them to beat bricks. If some person comes to your house and says, come to the bunker, just say no. It wouldn't work anyways. And also, I don't think your odds are better. nobody really knows. You don't really know if a place, for example, if there were a nuclear war, nobody really knows what the safe zones are. I mean, there have been people who've written, you know, strategic relocation books and telling you, well, if you move here, you'll be okay. But really, they don't know either. In a lot of cases, they're disinformation agents. They're trying to send you to the fucking bunker. So my advice is simple advice. If you live in a city, you probably don't want to right now. And if you live in a city near primary targets like Seattle, for example, there's a bunch of primary targets near Seattle, you probably want to get the fuck out if you believe this is real. And if it's not real, then what can you do but wait? You can watch your neighbors go crazy. You can wait for the next grocery store to be taken down by a flash mob. But all you can do is wait. You can wait as the plague of madness builds. I believe that this is about a prediction that they, the powers that be, made probably 50 years ago. And they narrowed the prediction to 100% probability starting in 2019, which means the central range, the median range of expectations, would be about 2.5 years in, maybe, if it's a normal distribution of likelihoods. That means right about now. Right about now, in that 5-year window that they believed had 100% certainty of that event, whatever the hell it is happening, right about now you'd expect it to start happening. So maybe it was a pipeline being destroyed, and maybe it's one of the first continental shelf methane blowouts, and we will find out soon, brothers and sisters, because that's a tipping point that gets tipsy as it happens. Maybe it's going to be nuclear war. Who knows? But other than don't live near a primary target, I wouldn't be able to tell you where is going to be safe. Don't live near a nuclear reactor, especially an old boiling water reactor, an old BWR, mainly because no one's going to take care of them, and they will simply cook off. So you don't want to live near one. You don't want to live downrange of one. There are lots of basic things you can do to make decisions on where you should be. But in terms of, is, you know, deserted Montana any better than deserted Utah? Who the hell knows? Do you live near a missile silo? If you live near a missile silo, then I don't care how deserted it looks. You're going to get, you're going to have a bad day. And that's assuming if it's a nuclear war. But like I said, before we switch topics, if some mofo comes to your door and says, you've got a ticket to the bunker, grab your kids, grab your dog, grab your cat, and come to the bunker, my advice is say no. 10, 15 years ago, I might have had a different perspective on this, but now, no. No, there's no reason for you to trust these people. The reason why your kids might be dying of radiation poisoning is because of these people. Why would you want to join them? And if you're a Christian, even if you thought it was real, why would you want to go there? The Lord knows where that place is. The Lord knows where all these bunkers are. I'm fairly certain every one of them's going to have a bad day thinking they got away with it. They're not going to get away with it. So if you're a Christian, you definitely don't want to go to the bunker. And I don't know. I don't like talking about the Ukraine, but it really is. I'm 50-50. It could be a real thing. And maybe 50-50 isn't right. Maybe it's more like a split between 3 or 4 options. It could be a real thing. It could be a real thing to cover up something else. It could be totally fake to cover up something else. And I think those are all possible. I don't have any firsthand knowledge from anyone I trust of anything that's happened in the Ukraine. Okay? No one I know has given me any information at all. So what I mostly have is the news, and I don't trust the news, and you shouldn't either. But if it is real, folks, blowing up a pipeline is bad. You shouldn't do that if you want to de-escalate. It looks like NATO and the Biden administration want to escalate this thing if it's real. And if that's the case, then I wouldn't be living anywhere near a primary target. Because here's the other thing too, folks. If this becomes a hot war, between the United States and Russia, China has a choice to make. And China already knows it's holding on to trillions in crappy paper. It already knows it's never going to get paid back. And when I say China, I don't mean the Chi-Coms. They were always in on the grift, going back to the 70s. They were always in on it. I mean, ordinary Chinese people are beginning to wake up to the fact that they've been screwed. And so Xi is going to have a choice, either face civil war and a coup, or join with Putin. And I think he'll probably join with Putin. Say, bad, bad America, crappy America, let's light him up. The Chinese and the Russians are not going to invade us. We are not going to invade them. It will probably become a conventional war that will quickly transition to nuclear, but there's going to be no invading, okay? If you think we're going to invade Russia, you are batshit fucking COVID monkey herpes crazy. That's never going to happen. If you think the Russians and the Chinese are going to invade us like it's Red Dawn, that is never going to happen. What is more likely is that the Russians and the Chinese, using the logic of MAD, essentially, because the logic of MAD works two ways. It also tells you when you should go to war. Using the logic of MAD, given that they don't trust that we have a credible deterrence, we have an insane leader, Biden, and whoever's controlling him, same difference. Yeah, it's more likely the Russians and the Chinese launch a coordinated first strike. They take out Washington, D.C. They take out strategic targets in the United States. I don't think they take out the city of London or Brussels. I don't think they take out NATO targets in Europe. I think they focus on the United States. They use a few EMPs to dampen things down, and then they wait a couple weeks to see who crawls out of the dust to make a peace. That's what they're going to do. That doesn't mean it'll work. There is nothing about World War III that is functional. Okay, I'm just telling you, that's what the Chinese and the Russians may end up doing. Because for them to wait for crazy people like President Biden to make rational decisions, whether it's Biden or whomever's controlling Biden, for them to wait for that institution to start behaving rationally again, that's a bad bet. Okay, they're already making incredibly insane decisions, like they just don't care. You know, the time that comes after the nuclear war, we've talked about it. And there will be characters that come to fore, that break through. This will be their time, baby. Qui-Gon is one. Qui-Gon, he rose up when the new wind blew. Yes, Qui-Gon, he was a cat hustler from Tempe. He was raised by cave minstrels and carny folk and old whiskey preachers. The new wind blew when Putin and Biden and Zelensky and Xi and the old black hangman held a meeting at Mount Anger. They said, we can't have this joy and love. We can't have a God above, so let's set fire to the garden. Of course, we were kicked out of the garden long ago. They weren't really talking about the garden. They're talking about the planter left behind. Dingus hounds. Dingus hounds wail and howl. The river of Jurgens flowed backwards, and the canal foam harvesters scooped up their green glowing booty, baby. They made their way to Popeye's for the new crispy chicken. I see your fire lust, mumbled Qui-Gon to each passerby. He sat outside Popeye's chicken begging for Slingus flesh and harlot wine. They flipped the switch and the foul stench spread. Dead Hawk Kings rose up in the east. Old style Minerva released 8 fetid waves of despair and bleakness. The cargo cult kings moved to Antarctica, and the rest of those bat children loaded onto submarines on their way to Staging Zone Alpha. Korgon found himself abandoned in the dusty nowhere land. Korgon sought out wood chips and broken glass and diesel fuel and metal shavings and other things, and he mashed this into a dust. He took an old rusty tire iron and gouged out a space in his chest. He packed that wound with musty things he'd been collecting for the feast. The new wind stopped blowing. The plants started dying. The Kragenhorrors erected wooden statues of French bulldogs in honor of Bale. The land became barren. The women became sultry. The men ran about in cod pieces made of deer hide, and Korgon was there. Korgon befriended Doc Jug, the last surgeon. Jug went to the dump and the junkyard and found bits of metal and rubber and radioactive waste. He fashioned fists of glowing titanium. He made feet of iron and cobalt and cesium. He glowed red with fury, and he carried a sword made of gold and steel, and his women rubbed blimey oils on their jugs. And with this, he replaced all of himself. Korgon made himself over for the wasteland. Korgon was reborn a barbarian king, an apocalyptic porn star, the stallion of the deadlands. But then one day he said, Doc Jug. Doc Jug, Korgon asked, can I have one other thing? Korgon asked for a hydraulic system that would support a 14-inch titanium cock, flashing lights and smoke effects, a Roman candle type thingy that would shoot out fireballs and would be capable of pleasing 38 women at the same time. Yes. It was designed like a power tool for women to engudulate themselves against as they rubbed their various scribbly regions. A member that would make him king of the Deadlands, where wild dogs ruled. And Korgon was enhanced. And Korgon would do battle with the lesbians, and the dog kings, and the wolf warriors, and the Wookiees. He would be ruler of Sector 45 and Region 2. His death zone would be well known for its craft beer and its strippers. Yes, Korgon, that wanderer, that dark figure of the past, Korgon. He would be the last of the Scrumblies, the last of the Digits, the last of the 49ers. He would be the last of those weird cave people who had been eating that canal foam and living high lives. He would be the last. He would wear some type of fur. His knives would be made out of bone. But his rage would keep him alive as he found cans of chili and Nelly tamales. Korgon would feast and love. He would search and he'd find. His castle would be golden. His coffin would be a muddy hole. Korgon had the power of Dimptus, and so can you. Yes, indeed. For Tuesday, September the 27th, I hope you all are having a great day and have a great rest of your day.